Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots, off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kid save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Chris Chapman, live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. I love that.
I want to update everybody. Good afternoon, and nice to be with you again. I just want to tell, I love the wishes. I'm right with you from yesterday. Just that emptiness, that sadness. But it's kind of moved past today because we were busy. We were really knee-deep in year-end media availability. So I feel like that lull that we dealt with yesterday, trying to figure out what do we do after experiencing the Stanley Cup, was replaced somewhat from the media side of it, being around the players again, as well as head coach Bruce Cassidy with their locker room clean-out. The team held the player meetings with the general manager and the coach, and then 10 players met with us on the media side, and Bruce Cassidy just finished up his year-end availability, and Kelly McCrimmon will speak to the media in about 29 minutes or so. We'll bring you a bunch of that sound, but it felt more normal today, and I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I feel like we were back in a more familiar space.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it definitely felt like another day at the office. And, you know, when you expect to go a little bit further, when you expect that this is a team that you can see contending for a Stanley Cup night in and night out every single year, this felt like more of a continuation than an end. And that's probably the best way to put it.
Did you get any particular sense of a theme from the players that you were able to sit in on today?
I think probably frustration, not so much at anything other than belief in this team and what they were this year, right? I think that each player to a man talked about the loss in the first round being frustrating from the aspect of knowing that this team is really good, knowing that they never really got to hit their stride, and that if they had more time, they believed that they could have gone all the way and won again.
Yeah, I'm right with you on that. There wasn't the anger or bitterness at losing, mm-hmm. which is normally there, but there was frustration knowing that there was an opportunity with a really good team. You heard over and over from guys, this might have been the best team that they played on. That might have been the better team than a year ago. These opportunities with really good teams playing on really talented groups don't come around all that often, and you didn't take advantage of it. That was more the sense than being sour or ticked off about losing the first round.
Yeah, I think that's right on. And, you know, even kind of in assessing how the first round went and going toe-to-toe and being just one play away against the best team in the Western Conference, I think that underpins how good of a team this was for the Golden Knights and how much they firmly believe they'd find a way to make a play in Game 7 and that they should still be playing right now.
So this is what's going to happen. We're going to give you a real taste of the player availability today by bringing several segments to you. Jack Eichel, Noah Hanifin spoke together. That's coming up. Bruce Cassidy just finished. We'll give you a taste of what the head coach had to say, as well as Jonathan Marchessault and Braden McNabb, two misfits. We're at the podium together, and we know the situation with Jonathan Marchessault. So that is on the way, but we start with the captain and Mark Stone.
Yeah, it's definitely a little bit of both. Definitely felt we had a team that could win another championship. Believe that we will have a team that can win a championship going forward as well, so that's always good. But yeah, I definitely, you know, you're right there. Winning the first two games and losing 4-5 is disappointing. Put ourselves in a good spot to go on another run and came up short. So frustrating, disappointing, a lot of the same things.
You talked the other night about it's never going to be the same roster-wise. How guys are always going to leave. Marshall's as a free agent. Can you just talk about what happened with him, what he's meant to this team, your time here, and what he brings personality-wise and everything else?
Yeah, he's been a big part of the core of this team since it started in 2017. He's scores goals, brings an energy to the locker room. He's an enjoyable teammate, and he's competitive. Obviously, stuff happens in our league. Players change teams. He's a guy. I think most of us are hoping is in our lineup next year, but that stuff always works itself out, right? There's another 2 months till free agency, the draft, stuff like that. But he's meant a lot to me. He's been sitting beside him for the last 3 years. He brings a smile on my face every day. Hopefully, he can continue to do that.
Darren and Jesse, normal off season, Mark, training wise, everything's
good. Yeah. I think so. Feel pretty good. Definitely optimistic the way my back felt all year. Never missed a practice, never missed a game until I lacerated my spleen. So I was feeling pretty good health-wise. So I should get another good summer here to recover and get ready for the fall.
Jesse, that was kind of the direction I was going to go. But I guess just, I know it's a totally different injury. Doing anything different, or how optimistic are you that this stuff's behind you?
Yeah, I'm definitely optimistic. I didn't come into this season expecting to lacerate my spleen. That was definitely not on my bingo card. Usually you break a finger, break a foot, hurt your shoulder, do something normal, I guess. This wasn't a normal injury. Probably the most nervous I've ever been with an injury. Spend a night in the hospital, it's never the easiest thing, as a hockey player. And then you never know if it's, you can do all the scans and everything, but you're still a little bit nervous about it. But I think it's behind me now. I'll be good to go. And as far as the other injuries, like I said, I never missed a practice. I never missed a game. I was ready, feeling comfortable. Felt great for the majority of the season.
For Mark today, Danny, and Vince.
Does a team Canada reach out to you? Is that even on your radar for the World Championships?
I'm not going to go to the World Championships. with all the injuries that I've had, especially this most recent one, I just want to recover. I definitely need it.
Mark, right, just to that point, how do you decompress?
I think most guys will say hockey's usually on in the background. It's not my focal point now, but you can always learn from the series that you're watching. So I'll probably won't tune in right away, but towards the end I'll be probably pretty curious to see who's winning and who has a chance. But I got to take a few weeks off, just get away from it. 82 games, in the playoffs, it's a grind, not the easiest thing. You got to get ready to go battle 82 games to get back to where you want to be, which is playing playoff hockey. So, hopefully the guys can kind of unwind here for the next couple of weeks and get back on the saddle, get the bodies ready, and have that chip again going back in next season. I think we kind of had a storybook start, right? I don't even know what our record was, 10-1 or whatever we were. It kind of felt like we were just going to breeze along, and then we started getting our adversity. You know, there's lulls in the season where we started having some injuries and new lineup, you know, every night. But we battled a lot of adversity to get where we were. I think we had a lot of, I don't even know how many man games lost we had. We had a ton, right? We were able to get there and give ourselves a chance. You know, you don't see teams repeat very often, you know, especially in today's game. When you go into the playoffs, there's 16 teams that could probably win, right? So, I don't know. I don't know if it was really any different. I know the guys in that locker room thought and expected that we were going to win again, and fortunately we didn't.
Something that kept coming up, and Mark Stone alluded to it right there, they were expecting to run this back and win the second straight championship. There was not a hope there. Maybe with all the injuries, if things hadn't come together from a full lineup perspective, you might have been in that area. But with the full complement of players, they expected to give themselves a really good shot at winning back-to-back.
Yeah, that was clear, not just in Mark Stone's commentary, but really from everybody that spoke today. The expectation wasn't to, you know, get into the postseason and see what happens. It was to go into the postseason expecting to win. And I think that that's another aspect that, you know, kind of led to the frustration that we felt, or I felt certainly there today, that they didn't get that job done because they believed that they could.
And the admission that it was the most scared that he's been with a hockey injury, with the spleen and spending the night in the hospital. The positive is everything's good from that perspective, and the back feels fine, didn't miss any time because of that after the two surgeries the last couple of years. And Mark Stone should have a full summer to train like he did last summer, coming into but a full summer compared to the shortened off season off a championship. So Mark Stone should be as good as ever come training camp.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it, right? Because, you know, as you mentioned, he didn't miss any time because of any back injuries or back issues this season. That is a step in the right direction for Mark Stone, given what he had dealt with the previous two seasons. And you know, when you factor in that he's going to have a full off season, that he's going to have time to rest and recover and get his body ready to go, Mark Stone, with that much prep time going into the regular season, I think is going to have a great year next year and be a big reason why the Golden Knights should expect to be right back in the postseason and challenging for a cup again.
On to Jonathan Marchessault, arguably the most anticipated member of the Vegas Golden Knights to meet with the media today. He joined Braden McNabb at the podium, talking about the contract throughout, as well as his career season, but started off discussing the time that they've had to decompress and the frustration and disappointment that they're feeling coming off of that opening round loss against the Dallas Stars.
I guess for either one of you guys, and you've had a chance to decompress over the last couple of days, just is it more frustration? Is it disappointment? Where is the, I guess, the level of thinking right now, knowing that it the season's already over, I suppose?
Yeah, it's been, I mean, it's been, what, 2 days? Yeah, it's frustrating. You know, we had a good team put together for sure. You obviously want to go on a run and do it again, right? But you know, they're a good team. It was a hell of a series. There wasn't a whole lot of room. It almost felt like Western Conference Finals, Stanley Cup Finals kind of series. So you know, we were one goal away from playing today. So it's frustrating.
Jesse, John, it's been a while since you've been in this position, going into an off season without a contract. I guess just how do you approach the off season, and how confident are you that you'll be back here next year?
Yeah, it's been a while for sure. I mean, I've done everything I can to, I think, stay here. I think I know I'm a big part of that organization, of the team. I've proved it along the years. I'm pretty confident. Like I would love to stay. Obviously it's my home. I've been part of the guys that we started this, right? I mean, I'm it's the most proud thing I've done in my life, I think, professionally for sure. So I'm just happy to be a Golden Knight. I would like to be one for the rest of my life, but that's not necessarily only in my control. I think it's something that my agent and Kelly are going to go through. And I mean, I'm not, you know, I love it here. I want to stay here for sure, but we'll see.
John, do you have priorities in your own mind? You talked earlier in the season about your family. You know, they're here, they're happy here, but like, what would your priorities be?
Well, that's, I mean, that's, yeah, it's important. Obviously, we have, like, their kids have their school, their sports team and all that. Yeah, it's a thing, you know, but if you look around the league, I mean, guys played 7 years in the same spot. You know, it's pretty satisfying, I think, to be in that situation, that I've been able to be in the same spot and give stability to my family for 7 years. So pretty happy about that. But what's important for me is I don't want to be, you know, I want to, the numbers are what they are. You know, it's there's nothing, there's no one hitting home runs or going way under what they're supposed to have. I think it's, you know, the numbers are what they are, and it depends to see if they value that this is important to them or not, you know. And I think what's important for me, the things I'm looking for is I want to be in an organization that wants me, you know. That's the one thing that I want to be in. And also, I have a couple of years left, so I still play the game of hockey, not just to play it. I don't play it for fun. I play it because I want to win, and I want to be in a place that gonna help me win.
Dan.
Braden, can you imagine a locker room without John?
No. No, you know, obviously I think everyone knows how big a part of this team he is, what he means to the team, what he means to the city, the fan base. You know, he said it there, he's done everything. He's been consistent, he scores consistently. And, you know, I don't know, it is what it is, it's business, right? But, you know, we all hope John's back, we love him and we want him here.
Obviously, people from the outside are going to look back on this team and remember the results. What are you going to remember about this particular group?
Yeah, it was a lot of adversity, like, you know, a lot of injuries. We grinded, you know, a lot of ups and downs throughout the season. You know, it's not disappointing. I'd say, you know, it's hockey, it happens, right? So, but, you know, obviously we would, like I said before, I would have loved to go on another run, but we had a team that, you know, was one goal better than us, and that's the way it goes.
Jonathan, is there
a part of you that thinks you guys should be sitting in Colorado right now? The opportunities you all had in the seventh game instead of sitting here doing this?
Well, you know what, that's something that I talked with Stoney, I think, before game six, and we've never had a stacked lineup like that. So it's like, I really feel like we missed an opportunity here, and that's what's disappointing. And also, it's hard sometimes when you have new, like, the guys that are kind of hurt. You know, you make the playoff, they don't play the last few games, and they come back just for the first game of the series. And after, we're trying to get everybody going, and while we're doing that, we're trying to be the best team in the West. So it was. I think the first round matchup was definitely not ideal for us. Do I think we can beat Dallas? Yeah, I think we could have, like, but we were one goal short. So at the end of the day, it's all in their honor and all in their credit. They worked hard to be in that situation all year, and they put themselves in a good situation, and they're a good team. So I just see it as 2024 was a year that we missed out. We definitely miss out on being successful again.
Braden, best regular season of your career personally, and then you followed it up with the playoffs. Were you thinking any differently? Were you doing any differently, or did it just fall your way?
No, I approach it the same. No matter what year it is, it's points came a little easier this year, I guess, or whatnot, wherever you want to explain it. But yeah, I know my role. I want to be good defensively, and you know, just be stable guy on the back end. And if the points come, great. If they don't, you know, I understand that.
Jonathan, you said the numbers are what they are. So when you go to decompress, I guess, this off season, I guess, how easy is that, or difficult will that be with the unknown? And how soon do you hope to have a resolution or an answer?
I don't know. I don't know when it can happen. Obviously, I talked to Kelly this morning, and I mean, he wants me back. He likes me, obviously, and the feeling's mutual, right? I love Vegas. I love my teammate. I love the organization, the coaching staff, all the staff working with us. They're family to me now. So yeah, I mean, I could have a pretty rough season this year after doing everything we've done as a team and personally as well, but I had a good one still. So it just shows that, you know, I left it all out there, and I mean, things will happen, I guess. We'll see.
Chris.
Jonathan, you talked about being here from the very beginning. Braden was right there next to you that very first night. But I don't know how much opportunity you've had to think about your legacy here in Las Vegas, but when fans come 10, 15 years from now, they're going to look in the rafters. They're going to see that Stanley Cup banner. They're going to see you as a Conn Smythe winner. You've kind of overcome the odds. You've helped this city overcome the odds. So when you look back at your legacy, just what do you think, what goes through your mind?
I'm proud. Like, sitting here today, and I can tell you what I've done for the Golden Knights, I'm proud. I'm happy of what we accomplished. I think we're accomplished a successful organization. We're in the mix 6 out of 7 years. Am I satisfied? I don't think I'll never be, personally. I want to do it again. You know, the run that we had last year, I sometimes listen to like the video highlights of when we won or certain games in the playoffs of last year just to make me in a good mood, and now it's gonna be like that for the rest of my life. So I'm always gonna work towards winning again, and if it's not as a player, I'm gonna probably stay in the mix at some point in hockey and work towards winning, because I like that's the most satisfying thing, I think, to me.
Last question, Adam.
Jonathan, you talked about the individual success you had this year, obviously very impressive, so it didn't affect you on the ice, but was there times that the thoughts you were about, hey, this could be it, this could be the end run? Was it hard to kind of keep those thoughts out of your mind as you went through the season?
yeah, it was. I thought about it all year, to be honest. It's always in the back of your mind. But when I start a game, I'm always start a game. If it's playoff or regular season, it's always, what can I do to help my team win a hockey game? And that's the mentality I have every day. And what can I do to become better and all that? And but I did think about it all year. That's the way it is. I did think about it as my last regular season game against Anaheim. I thought about it against game 6 at home, like leaving the rink, coming to the rink, all that, like all the memories comes back. And yeah, it was tough for sure, to be honest. But I try to manage to not be a distraction for my teammates, and knowing that my teammates knew that I would perform every night and give the best that I have, and that's something that I'm pretty proud of. Is my teammates know what kind of performance I'm gonna do, and I'm always gonna work hard and give a chance to win to my team.
Honest assessment of how much the contract situation was on his mind throughout this year. Didn't bother his production, but that doesn't mean that it's not swirling around in your head, whether it's at home or driving to the rink or in casual conversations. An admission there from Jonathan Marchessault.
Oh, absolutely. And it kind of makes his season, the production that he found, even more astounding, considering the fact that that was on his mind that he wasn't able to kind of park that or put it in the background. And I don't know how you would. Honestly, if it were me, I'd probably feel the exact same way as Jonathan Marchessault throughout the season. But the fact that he was able to put 42 goals on the board and be so consistent for this team, I think it speaks volumes about just the character that he has.
I think it can be used as motivation, too.
Sure.
Like a career year can come as a result of a contract year. We've seen that several times in sports.
Yeah, you don't really get that level of honesty, I think, in some of those situations where you hear from the player that it was something that was there. It was something that was in their mind and not just on the periphery or in the background, that it was something that he thought about as recently as Game 6 and Game 7.
We are going to hear from Noah Hanifin and Jack Eichel ahead, plus Bruce Cassidy in hour number two, and some league news that has just broken inside the last hour. We will get to that and more on the VGK Insider Show as we continue on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Another sample of the media availability from Jonathan Marchessault, admitting that the contract was on his mind, but he was able to fight through that and produce a career season, and then was able to score and inspire the Golden Knights to a 2-0 series lead in that set against the Dallas Stars by finding the net in the first two games. Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace, along with Chris Chapman, we are going to bring you more reaction from the media day from the Vegas Golden Knights as they go through the team meetings with the coaches and the managers, medicals, following their first round loss in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But some news right now, and I want to let everybody know that the draft lottery has just wrapped up in New York, and the first 15 picks, the selection order has been determined, and for the first time ever, the San Jose Sharks have the number one pick in the NHL draft, and that's followed by the Chicago Blackhawks, who won last year's draft lottery, and the Anaheim Ducks round out your top three, completing the top five, Columbus at four, and the Montreal Canadiens, who won the first overall pick a couple of years ago, will select five, Ryan.
Well, you know, when you look at the San Jose Sharks and the season that they had, if there was a team on the planet that could use an infusion of a really strong first overall pick, it would be them. So I think it's a just and right scenario that San Jose gets to select first overall.
Of course, the big target out there is Celebrini from Boston University. So we'll see whether he indeed does go first overall to the San Jose Sharks, who have selected second three times in the NHL draft. Do you remember the three selections that the San Jose Sharks used on their second overall selection?
Ooh, one was recent, right?
The, no, 91, okay, 96, 91. And 97.
Well, I'm going to say one is Patrick Marleau.
You're right. That was 1997.
Okay. You said 92.
91 and 96.
91 and 96. We could sit here all day. I'm not going to pull those two.
Yeah, the number 1991, that second overall selection was close to my heart because he's a Manitoba guy from southwestern Manitoba, Pat Falloon. Falloon.
Yeah.
Was that the Eric Lindros year, was it not? Pat Falloon went second overall to the San Jose Sharks. And Andre Zuzan in 1996. Forget about being here all day.
Yeah.
We could have been here for the next 13 sure. years, yeah. and I wouldn't have got that.
Oh, come on. You don't know Andre Zuzan?
Not a
nope.
chance.
No.
Everyone knows Andre Zuzan.
I remember Andre Zuzan.
Listen, at least I got Patrick Marleau.
Yeah.
I'll take that for sure.
Was 91 their first draft?
Yeah, I want to say so. But Patrick Falloon
was a good player.
A really good player. An amazing junior player. But those are the three times that they've selected second overall. Mm-hmm. And you'd say that, two are more well-known. Andre Zuzan, I remember him as a player. Did not recall that he was a second overall draft pick. But then you've got the Columbus Blue Jackets and the Montreal Canadiens rounding out your top five. Anaheim gets another high pick. So we've got Chicago and Anaheim and Montreal all with pretty consistent top picks here. So, you got to wait a couple of years, but there should be a turning of the tide there.
Yeah, it certainly feels that way. And again, as far as the Sharks go, let's see what they're able to do with it. Let's see how this kind of can help them expedite or at least push in the right direction a rebuild that's necessary. And I'm just glad Chicago didn't win another draft lottery. That's all I can say.
Interest. Matthew Celebrini, Boston University. Mike Greer went to Boston University, mm-hmm. the general manager of the San Jose Sharks. So the cool connection on that side. Got a couple of other bits of news from the National Hockey League to sprinkle in today, and we will get that to an abbreviated version of one-timers, news notes from around the National Hockey League. But let's get back to Media Day at the City National Arena, and more reaction from the players teeing up. Jack Eichel and Noah Hanifin, who joined each other at the podium, a couple of Boston guys going to the session together. And Jack started off by just talking about the injury that kind of knocked his season sideways.
How frustrating was the injury you had back in January, just when you look at the way that your season was going and how on top of your game were? Just did it feel like it derailed maybe all the progress you put together, or how did you feel?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Yeah, it's, I mean, listen, you never want to deal with an injury. Middle of the season's tough. And then, yeah, just the nature of the injury, how it happened, you lose your skate blade. It's sort of a freak accident, right? You fall on your knee. So, yeah, it was frustrating at the time, but, like anything, you just, you know, you got to handle it and move on. You know, we had a lot of adversity throughout the room this year, so it wasn't only me. You know, at that time, I felt like my game was in a good place, and so yeah, it was definitely frustrating to be out for that extended period of time and be away from the team. One of my goals this year coming in was to try and play all 82 games, so that didn't happen, unfortunately. So, but. You know, like I said, we had a lot of guys that, you know, battled through adversity, and I give a ton of credit to those, to the guys that, you know, did deal with injuries, you know, came back and, you know, found a way to you know, help us, and so yeah, it wasn't it's never ideal to have a mid-season surgery.
Noah, you went into last offseason with a lot of uncertainty about your future. Now that's all settled. So knowing that that's behind you now, how much easier does the offseason become because now you can just focus on your offseason work as opposed to have to worry about a contract?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you always put a little bit of pressure on yourself in different ways. You know, I think for me, you know, now knowing, you know, I'm going to be here for the next 8 years, you know, I owe it to this organization to come in and be, you know, my best self, you know, on the ice, off the ice, and, you know, just gonna try to keep getting better, keep improving, and you know, I think my first couple months here was great. You know, I was super happy with how everything went, the guys, you know, the room, and just being a member of this organization was awesome. So I'm happy I'm gonna be here for a long time, and I think just going back into the summer and, you know, just kind of you know, rebuilding a bit, getting better, getting stronger again, coming back, and knowing what to expect coming into, you know, an organization where I'm comfortable now, I think that'll be great.
Hey, Jack, you've had these last two playoff runs. You're at the top of the mountain, and you lose in a game seven. I'm wondering, how wide is that range of emotions for you over the last 2 years?
Yeah, it's pretty wide. I think going into last season's post-season run, with it being my first, you don't know what to expect. We obviously had a magical run, go on and win. You just assume that's going to happen every year, and coming back this year, listen, I mean, I think if you asked every guy in the room, we would all agree that we believed we were going to win again, and you know, I really thought we had the team to do it. You know, hockey's it's an interesting game. You know, it doesn't owe you anything, and I mean, I think we played, what, 7-1 goal games against Dallas. So you come to learn pretty quickly. You get a bounce here and there. You could be on the other side of it. You know, even looking back last year, obviously we were able to win. But Those first two games, we win both games in overtime, and you know, it propels us. But the margin of victory, the margin of error is so small. So the range of emotions, to go back to your question, it was tough to, you know, yesterday it was weird. I think you have that expectation of winning, and when that doesn't happen, you're trying to, you know, gather your thoughts and what you could have done differently, what went differently, you know, last year as opposed to this year, how we could have maybe been on the right side of the series. And but you know, hockey's it's such a competitive game, and there's so much parity between the teams in the league, and you know, everyone's competitive. You get in the playoffs, you know, you talk to some of the guys in the room that have, seems like they've done it, you know, every year for, you know, double digit amount of years. You know, the difference in winning and losing is so small.
Jesse, Mark, Ken.
For Noah, obviously you fit in pretty seamlessly. You mentioned the first couple months went well, you played well on the ice, but where do you see room for growth now that you've seen kind of what's expected of you here? Where do you think you can improve with the full off season and training camp with this team?
Well, I think, you know, just in terms of performance, it's just about, you know, my all around game. And, but I think more importantly, it's just, you know, trying to step up in different areas, you know, off the ice, you know, leadership, kind of knowing I'm going to be here for a long time. And like I said, I've said it all along. It's a great culture here. And that's what happens when you have a room full of guys that have gone the distance and won. I think for me, that's something, you know, I want to get to that point, right? I want to be considered a winner and do that as well. So I think for me, it's just coming in and just trying to take a step in a leadership role and work hard every day and try to add to that culture that's already been established here. And that's something I'm going to look to try to do over the next couple of years, obviously. And, this summer, just go back, regroup, reassess, and come in, prepared and ready to go in the fall.
Jack, it seems like a couple of years ago when you missed the playoffs, it really seemed to fuel you last season. How much does the way this season might fuel you going into the offseason?
I think it should fuel all of us. There's only one team that's satisfied at the end of the year. We happen to be that team last year. This year, there's only going to be one team, you know, that feels satisfied about what they did this season, and that's not where we're going to be. So we want to get back to that point. It should fuel everyone. I know I'm sure you're going to use it as motivation and come back and be as prepared as possible to have a good season.
For Noah, you came in and you played with a bunch of different players. Like, what specifically on the ice made it easy for you to fit in with everybody, it seemed like?
I don't know. I think that's just, you know, there's a lot of good defensemen on this team, and we had a really deep team and a deep back end, and all eight guys are NHL hockey players and can play. And I think for me, it's just not really trying to change my game, no matter who you're playing with. Just try to be predictable for your partner and communicate. That's a huge thing. And I don't know. I feel like because of the time of the year, we weren't really practicing a ton. We were kind of just playing games, and sometimes, you know, you just get into it and you just wing it almost, and that almost helps. So I don't know. I think it's credit to all the guys, you know, that I did play with. I mean, they're all super easy to play with, and they made the transition for me a lot easier coming into a new team. You know, that's sometimes it's not the easiest thing in the world, but you know, having good guys around you, good partners to play with, guys who talk. You know, Johnny Stevens, the D coach, I mean, he helped me a lot. So I think that's probably where the credit's due.
For both of you guys, just how cool was it to finally play with each other together at the NHL level? And also, has there ever been a decider on what the BUBC bet was earlier in the year?
I don't know if there was a bet made. Denver ended up winning, so I guess we all went home losers. It was awesome. Noah and I have known each other for a long time and have gotten closer. The older we've gotten, so having the opportunity to now play together and continue to build our relationship, not only on the ice but off the ice, has been a real treat. So I know I've sure enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, same here. I mean, Jack's you know, growing up, you know, knowing about him and playing hockey with him at the national program, and we kind of always cross paths a little bit. So now to play, you know, on the same team here and in Vegas is awesome, and great teammate, great player. So excited for the future.
And Noah, you spoke about how easy it was to kind of fit in on the ice, but what about off the ice, like in the room? How quickly, how easily did you fit in, and how important was it for your teammates in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy, honestly. I mean, I think it also helps, you know, there's a few other guys that are traded as well, so you get some new faces in there that are kind of going through that same process. But, you know, I think having Jack, you know, he made a huge difference for me, just kind of settling me in and introducing me to all the guys. And but it's a veteran group. It's an older group of guys that, you know, they get it, and they know how to welcome new players into the team. And, you know, I think for me, that's what made it easy. You know, sometimes it can be a little weird, you know, when you go into a team, you know, that just won a Stanley Cup. You know, they're a really close group, and you're kind of the outsider coming in, but I never felt that way at all. It was right from the beginning, the guys were all welcoming, and you know, I was super happy to be a part of it.
Thanks, guys.
Look to the future of the Vegas Golden Knights, trying to get back to the top of the mountain next year, and it does really significantly revolve around those two players. Jack Eichel, acquired a couple of years ago from the Buffalo Sabres, and then Noah Hanifin with the big blockbuster, one of two big blockbusters, really, for the Vegas Golden Knights at the trade deadline, and then subsequently able to sign him to the extension.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you look at what Noah Hanifin was able to do for the Golden Knights, not just after the trade deadline, but in the postseason as well. A couple of game-winning goals in that opening round series against the Dallas Stars. I thought from jump he was great on the ice. It's a great fit, and he's a solid defenseman that's going to help his team for a long time.
And the power play will look significantly different all of next year with the addition of Hanifin. And then Hurdle in front of the net, hopefully a healthy Mark Stone able to go, and then you sprinkle in the likes of Jack Eichel and company. Sprinkling in Jack Eichel is a pretty good advantage and a luxury, being able to just get more pucks to the net. We'll see what happens. Jack is a guy that really took big steps with his 200-foot game this year, killing more penalties, and a lot to really be proud of from him, and he was a beast in the front part of that series against the Dallas Stars. So we'll tee up hour number two as we continue, tell you what's as ahead, including a little bit more league news as we roll on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
I'll be honest, I wasn't sure that was supposed to be happening there, that it wasn't some kind of like computer malfunction and the sound was coming through the board.
Yeah,
with whatever type of music. Was that techno music or whatever you refer to that?
Yeah, that was basement tunes. Jacks.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure. And when it happened again, I was a little more confident. But the first time, I'm like, ooh, did Chapman just spill his shot glass on the board?
My fireball.
Yeah, your fireball. We're getting a lot of traction. Have you talked to the bosses, you guys, about the possibility of doing that?
I have not. You know, I made an executive decision, and I said, Chapman, if you want to do it, you reach out to them.
I will.
Yeah, Chappie.
He hasn't done it yet.
Well, you didn't tell me until literally like
now,
16 seconds ago. Yeah. So
he'll do it.
I will do it during business hours. And I will reach out to the boss.
During business hours?
Yes.
It's business hours. For like,
I can't believe
six
you.
More
you know what? I will text the boss.
We have business hours until 5 p.m.
Hold on, Wallace, you just turtled on the boss right now.
Who, me?
Wallace, you just turtled on this.
In what way?
You just handed it off to Chapman.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not drinking it.
Be fun. Let's get at her. Bruce Cassidy on the way from his media availability, plus some other league news making its way around. A coach has been hired in Ottawa. We'll tell you all about that. And the finalists for the Hart Trophy will run down the top three best players in the National Hockey League next as we continue in hour number two of the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.